Let's talk about the players that have moved so far during this trade and free agency period. There's been 15 of them so far. We'll just go through them and just have a little bit of a chat, seeing as we've got some time to kill. Hopefully some trades get done. Things are in progress, we believe, and I know the boys are all across that. But let's start with Jake Kelly, because Essendon signed him as an unrestricted free agent, and the Crows received a third round pick as compensation. Currently pick 44, 110 games with the Crows, but probably is a nice addition to Essendon's backline in that he frees up Jordan Ridley a little bit more too.
Yeah, I think he's a good addition, and he comes along. They beat North Melbourne to Jake Kelly, and we see some of the things he's done. He's played in a grand final. Here's the vision from that one. But he's tough, he's courageous, he'll lift training standards. I think there's a real feel that his aggression and combativeness will be a huge plus for the Bombers, who don't really have that enforcer type of player. So they've got some tough players, they've got some competitive players, and every footy club does, but he can add some new elements to their half-back line. And what I think they will like about Jake Kelly is that he can play on the smaller forwards, he can play on the medium forwards, he can play on Cody Waitman, he can play on...
Who killed them in the elimination final.
He did. A couple of free kicks.
Don't bring that up.
Then he can play on Cam Zerha.
Yep.
He can play on some taller options as well. So there's some options there for the Bombers now. And Paddy Ambrose was probably one of their missed to fix it's in defence as well. And as you say, frees up Jordan Ridley to go and do what he does best, and sort of what Jaden Laverty does best as well. And what a career flick of the switch it was for Jaden Laverty in 2021. So I think that's a good addition for the Bombers. And yeah, it's no wonder they had a couple of clubs interested in Jake Kelly.
And then there was the Gold Coast Suns. They signed Marbiel Chol as a free agent on a four-year deal. He'd only played just the 31 games over six seasons for the Tigers. He'll be very nice alongside Ben King, Sam Day in the forward line, and then obviously that all-important ruck support for Jared Witts as well, Riley.
Yeah, he can play ruck, which is probably where I like him most, actually. Okay. I know he kicked four goals in a game this year. Might have been against the Tigers, against the Suns, sorry, yeah. that game. But I actually like him as a ruckman. Incredible leap, can go forward, can provide support to Ben King, as you mentioned there. I like this one, and I think Richmond at the end of the day would have been quite happy with the compensation. So they get pick 38 as compensation for Marbiel Chol going to the Suns. That's the reason why there was a trade for Robbie Tarrant, as opposed to them picking him up as an unrestricted free agent. Had they have signed Tarrant as an unrestricted free agent, it would have diluted that compensation by about 10 picks. So it would have slid from about 38 to somewhere in the late 40s, as per the AFL's tiered compensation model. So that's why Tarrant was part of the Cal Coleman Jones trade at the end of the day.
And Carlton signed George Hewitt, which we've spoken about already, and the Swans receiving pick 39. So end of second round compensation for that one. Riley, I'm going to put this one on you. The Blues, they should be making finals, shouldn't they, in 2022?
Well, they should be. I actually had a bit of a chuckle to myself when Cal said they won the trade period, because it seems like they win the trade period every year. It's time for them to start turning wins at the trade period into wins on the football field. Haven't seen enough of it over the last 10 years from the Blues. I think these additions definitely help them. Just like last year's ones, I think we spoke about it before, what Charlie Gardner said, that you can analyse draft picks and trade periods more holistically over a couple of years. Last year, they desperately lacked speed. They bring in Zach Williams and Adam Saad. This year, they desperately lacked running power in the midfield. They bring in Hewitt, they bring in Chera. I like that. Brody Kemp was playing on key position players towards the end of last season, so they needed a bit of key defensive depth. They bring in Lewis Young there. I think the change in their trading philosophy over the last two or three years has been really smart. And I think the way that they're going forward now, it lends itself to on-field success. They just need to put everything together on-field and have a good year with injury. I think they had 17 players on the injury list towards the back end of last season. So they need to stay fit. And if they can stay healthy, I think they should be better in 2022 under Michael Voss.
Plus, of course, as you mentioned, Michael Voss, the new coach, is part of the trade period.
Yes,
get him in. That's a big recruit.
You don't move your first-round pick 2 years in a row if you don't think you're on the verge of something pretty good. And I know they're good players in the right age bracket. Saad was 25 or 26 this time last year and had a pretty solid season for the Blues. And then Chera clearly is in that really nice spot of his career where he changes clubs with great experience, but also a decade to go as well. So yeah, where would Adam Chera have gone in the draft if he was up for grabs? I get asked this a little bit. Well, he probably would have been picked off before number six. So that's where you look at what sort of player he is and whether it was the right move, and it was.
Nah, he is a gun, all right. And Collingwood secured Nathan Kruger. We saw that a little while ago. That was pick 55. He's only played, I guess, three or four games at the back half of the season towards the end for the Cats. And probably a lot of upside, really, because we just haven't seen what he can produce.
Yeah. Played a lot as a defender at Geelong throughout his time in the VFL as well. So it's interesting they targeted him as a forward. I find this a fascinating move because he's someone that they've been interested in for a long time, as Cal Toomey put on the record a bit earlier today. They had a big crack at him last year and were unsuccessful. So this is one of those deals like Clark that we're waiting on, like Ladders that we're waiting on, where it's almost a two-year sort of transaction that they're chasing this player for 2 years. Finally, something gets worked out this season, and you hope it's beneficial for both parties because he's only played, what, two or three games, I think, for the Cats across his career.
Yeah.
Let's not forget a good story as well coming out of the Sandful was one of those pre-registered players at Carlton that they then traded to Geelong for a pick. And I think about the 40s, that was a couple of years ago. So a good story all round, a mature age draft pick that came through and now he gets his opportunity to become a senior regular at Collingwood.
Jeremy Finlayson is now a Port Adelaide player coming across from GWS for a future third round pick. What about the Giants, though, in their forward line? We've spoken about small forwards, but in terms of their tall forwards with Finlayson leaving as well, where do you think they're at?
Well, it leaves a bit of responsibility clearly to Jesse Hogan, doesn't it?
Who's like had injury struggles and is probably a little bit unreliable in that.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. And we saw flashes of what he can do this year. Of course, Harry Himmelberg's there and is a really good player, I think. But Jeremy Finlayson has talent. He kicked 44 goals in a grand final season. You don't do that by accident. At that point, he did have Jeremy Cameron alongside him.
Yeah,
that's obviously helpful. You know, he can be the foil to the main guy. But, yeah, there's talent to work with. He had years to go on his contract. Family reasons also wanted to go back to South Australia. So I think all parties in the end were reasonably satisfied with that deal to make that happen. And, again, the Giants have been in a challenging cap position. They're always in a challenging cap position because they're at this point where no free agents go there. But free agents always are touted from leaving there, so they always have to pay more to keep their free agents. We've seen Josh Kelly's on a 10-year deal with $10 million bucks. And, you know, Steve Cornelio, 7-year. Lockie Whitfield was a long-term deal to cut him off from anyone before he hit free agency. Toby Green's on long-term deals. So they have to do that to keep their players and keep their guys intact and their list intact, their main top enders. But it does mean that their cap is, you know, I don't know, top-heavy and very differently shaped to other caps. So that's where some respite from a money perspective and Finlayson goes on might be of some benefit to them.
So Luke Dunstan, as we mentioned, is now at Melbourne, which we talked about the positives for Melbourne. Interesting with St Kilda that he just couldn't get a game in that first half of the season, but as soon as he came in, it was like he had a point to prove and he just went gangbusters. How do you see the Saints at this point of the trade period?
Strange one for me because we mentioned before when we're talking about Tristan Jerry, but they've got a massive gap in between pick 9 and pick 62 and they need to replenish through the draft. They haven't had an early pick in a long time. I reckon Matt Allison was a first rounder last year, but he was the last first round pick taken because of that deal for Jack Higgins. So he was pick 26 in the first round last year. So they haven't had a pick inside 26 for, I reckon, 3 years off the top of my head. So they need to replenish through the draft. They're going to take pick 9. Got a couple of good young academy players coming through in Machito Owens and Marcus Windhager as well that they should walk through the doors. So maybe that helps them replenish their young stocks. As for their trade period, though, they haven't really brought anyone in of note. So I think they're done from that perspective. They need to now replenish their youth.
And they're another club, of course, that at the start of the year asked their players to take a list-wide pay cut. So they clearly were at the point where at 7% to ask their players, that means that they're tight.
Yeah.
And this is a situation across the board because of the circumstances of how last year played out, the salary cap cuts across the competition. So the Saints had spent pretty big over a couple of years. We know the recruiting rate and where they went for a couple of years ago with the five guys coming in and even last year with Jack Higgins coming across and making some moves like that. So they've gone pretty aggressively. And no doubt they'll have some big fish next year. But they've always said they want to keep their first-round pick. There was maybe some opportunities for splitting that at different points. And, again, Nat, of course, that can happen much closer to the draft too if the right option comes up.
All right, we will continue this chat after the break. You're watching Deadline Day on Continental Tires Trade Radio.